It's How to Kill a Piano, the podcast, episode 21. I'm George Tate. Thanks so much for listening and tuning in. It is Monday. It is technically Labor Day today. It's Monday, of course. And normally what I would be doing right now is I would be performing all weekend at a thing called Arts Beats and Heats. For the last 20 years or so, I have been, actually 21 years, I have been a festival performer. That has been what I've been doing for a living, street performing at festivals, or rather not really street performing because they provide stages for me and whatnot. Both two different types of acts. One, there is my mind reading act that I have toured the world with, which is pretty fun. You can, of course, look at more about that at thinkgeorgetate.com. I really should update that website to be a lot more current and post some videos, and maybe we'll get around to it. But there's some up there now. The last thing that's up there, of course, is the theatrical show that I toured with called What Two Magicians Telling the Truth, which was going to be followed with my solo show that didn't happen because the world came to a crashing halt. That show was called Confessions of a Conjurer. So, there you are. But normally I would be performing on the Rockstar stage in Royal Oak, Michigan at their Arts, Beats, and Eats Festival, but it has been drastically truncated or shrunken down to just music, so there are no arts, there are no eats, there are only beats. And very limited beats as well. Normally there are tons and tons of bands that come together and get to perform at this festival. And unfortunately, even that has been shrunken down. And they've, really cool though, they have turned it into a parking lot, a drive-in concert, which is also really neat. I will not be partaking because I do not participate in this strange world that we're living in because it's still incredibly... Just, it's an incredibly weird place. We'll leave it there. So we have come to the in-between episode. This is the new format that I mentioned before, where I would be giving you a preview of the upcoming chapter that is going to be out next Monday. And of course, giving you some other content as well. So it's not just a chapter preview, but there's other things. And I teased you last week a little bit about what this week would be, and I was going to talk about a wonderful adventure with another digital piano that I had. Some of you might remember a while back that my Yamaha piano decided to stop working. And I was very sad because it delayed some of these episodes that we're doing here for the How to Kill a Piano podcast. And I don't have, unfortunately, I don't own a real honest-to-goodness piano. I only have a real honest-to-goodness digital piano, and now I have two of them. Now, the Yamaha is really cool. I already told that story, and if you would like to hear about it, go back and listen to episode 9 on April 20th, 2020 for a behind-the-scenes episode that I called Resurrection. There's also a blog post on howtokillapiano.com on the same date, April 20th, where you can see photographs of that piano completely broken down in pieces for its adventurous repair. Well, during that post, I talked about how I dreamed about getting a really, really nice, wonderful electric baby grand piano, and no, I do not have a really nice one now. I still have the Yamaha, which is working better than ever. However, I do dream big, and I go over to Facebook Marketplace every once in a while, and I just like to see what's there for sale, and I saw... for sale, a Suzuki mini baby grand piano. Now, there was no make or model, rather, there was no model number on that post, but the price seemed ridiculously low for what it was, or rather, they were asking $500 for it in cash. And this is still a COVID world, so I'm very wary about traveling outside of the house, being maskless and so on, especially going in anyone else's house. But I wanted to check this thing out. Now, they didn't tell me it was broken. They didn't tell me that it was not in tip-top condition, but of course I assumed for $500 this thing couldn't have been or there had to be something going on with it. So I arrived. We, of course, took all precautions. I wore my mask, etc., etc., etc. And I saw this piano. Now, this piano turned out to be a Suzuki GP-3 model. Now, if you don't know anything about that, that was sort of the Costco piano of the time. And they didn't get great reviews then. This piano was old, to say the least, and so old that it had a disk drive in it that you could load music into it via a disk drive. Yes, I'm talking about a floppy disk. If you don't know what a floppy disk is, which is kind of strange that there are people who are unfamiliar with what a floppy disk is. There are multiple different kinds. There's actually a floppy disk, or was a floppy disk, that is or was actually floppy. Those were technically or usually 8 inches, or there was the 5 1/4 inch floppy disk. But no, this one had the slightly newer, more advanced, crazy 5 1/4 inch floppy drive. Now, those floppy drives were usually a harder plastic. They had a little security, little window thing on a spring that would open up when you inserted it in. But when you boot this piano up, it makes a wonderful sound of that floppy disk booting up. Kind of like a... That's the best impression that I could get. And if you knew what that sounded like, that's a fairly accurate impression of what it sounds like. Now, the features do not end there. Not only did it have a floppy drive, there were also 12 keys that were stuck down in place. Now, this isn't a big deal. This isn't a thing that is hard to fix. Now, generally, what could happen with stuck down keys are keys that do not pop back up because they're weighted on an electric panel. The keys are weighted. What happens is either the material inside that softens or dampens those keys being hit allows those keys to stick to it, or worse, sometimes that they're just not oiled enough or they've been poorly made. But in the case of the Suzuki GP3 model, this is something that just happens to all of them, and fairly quickly. They were just poorly designed, unfortunately, at the time. So, in order to fix that problem, what needs to happen is you need to disassemble the entire thing, which is some 800 screws or so. You need to disassemble all the way down into the soundboard. So, basically, you're taking off the housing, you are taking off the baby grand piano sections of this completely. You are disconnecting all the speakers, then you go into the next layer and you get the computer board itself. You disassemble those, pull those off, unplug those from the board, or rather unplug that from the rest of the device. And then you're into the mechanical components of the actual keys, or the weighted keys, which have several parts that need to come apart. Once you're down through all of that, you need to take out each section of keys, which consists of maybe 5 white keys and 3 black keys or so, depending on where you are in each grouping. You disassemble that, and then you need to pound out the bar that is what each key pivots around. Once I did that, I had to sand all of that down. I had to sand each of the keys individually down so that they could pivot freely, because they were just locked up over time because maybe the lubricant or whatever is used inside the piano was becoming a solid, not being a liquid anymore. Now, I could just re-lubricate the whole thing after cleaning everything out and put it back together, but that would eventually cause the same issues. So, sanding each and every piece meticulously down it was. This fixed the weighted key problem. Now, I had to assemble everything together, and this whole process took around 17 hours of labor, straight from start to finish. Once the piano was reassembled again, I discovered a new problem, which was very unfortunate. The new problem is that there are 2 keys, and maybe 3. Actually, there are 3 keys. I misspoke. that when you hit them, the touch sensitivity of those weighted keys mute the strings. So it sounds like somebody is putting their hands over the strings on the inside of a piano when you hit the keys, so the string doesn't resonate, or the key doesn't resonate when you hit the key, so that the hammer would hit the strings. In this case, there are no strings because it's digital, but it sounds like somebody is muting them, or like there's a cat on the inside of the piano laying down across the strings, muting the sound. Now, this doesn't happen when the sustain pedal is pushed down. The keys play just fine. So it is more of a minor inconvenience than anything else. But now the next step is to disassemble it all over again and see if perhaps this is a sensor issue that is dirty. Because once I was inside this piano, I discovered that somebody had spilled something all over it, much like once upon a time happened to my Yamaha. And I did meticulously clean out as much as I could. And hey, I did find a quarter, so instant 25 cent rebate, go me. But there's really no way to tell. I can't seem to find parts for this thing, so if I do want to replace the sensor boards to try to get that key to play correctly, or those keys to play correctly, that's probably next to impossible. The good news is I didn't spend $500 on this thing. I did talk them down because there was just no way to know if this thing was going to play. So, good news for me, I guess. So $300 or so in to this project, I guess I got my money's worth. I got a project to work on, and I have a new piece of furniture in my living room that looks like a Baby Grand mini piano and almost plays like one. Now, I haven't used that on the How to Kill a Piano podcast yet, just because, honestly, the Suzuki does not sound nearly as good as my Yamaha. Now, it can do some elaborate sounds. It has drums and things that you can mix in. I can record to that device, which is kind of neat. And supposedly, according to the instruction manual that I found online, I can update it. Or at one point, it was able to be updated, but it doesn't appear to be able to be updated now, as there's absolutely no support for it on the Suzuki website. Bummer. But it's a hell of a lot of fun to play. I will say having real feel pedals is so much better than the silly little flat pedal that I have on the Yamaha electric portable keyboard that I do play for this podcast that you're listening to right now in the background. Or maybe you're trying to ignore it because that's what I would probably be doing. Actually, that is what I'm doing. I'm trying not to listen to that at all. Actually, the track you're listening to right now is last week's track. Rather than replay and retool, I reuse. It makes these episodes so much quicker to get out. Also, last week we announced our contest winner for the How to Kill a Piano official mug. And that brings me back to That's Optic. Are we doing another contest? Yes, we will be doing another contest. Is it starting this week? No, it is not starting this week, but it may be next week or the week after that. So you'll have to keep tuning in to make sure things are current and that you get on board on how to enter. But congratulations again to our winner. That was Isis Kennedy Hart. And I hope you enjoy the mug that is slowly speeding your way through our postal service that I hope continues to be around for many years to come. So I just rambled for 14 minutes about pianos, and I suppose that is why we're here. And I've been talking a lot about resurrecting pianos rather than killing them. I'm not really in the market to kill pianos. I love pianos. It's just a story, folks. That's all it is. That's all it is. But I also promised you a sneak preview of next week. So I guess without further ado, the sneak preview of chapter 17. I woke up. My head feels fuzzy I'm in bed at home. As my eyes open, I sigh with relief, thinking, thank goodness it was just a dream. I pulled myself out of bed and down the hall, tracing my hand along the wall because my eyes aren't all the way open yet. I went into the washroom. I fill a glass with water. I drink it. It feels cold as it slides down my throat. I finally look up into the mirror, and I'm startled. I've aged. I'm no longer the young man that I was. I opened my mouth to let the only words out of my mouth that I could muster, hoping my sound box was working again. And that concludes our sneak preview of the next chapter of How to Kill a Piano. Or maybe it's not the next chapter. It could be a different part of the story altogether. Anyway, I'm going to see you right here, same place, around the same time next Monday for chapter 17. Thanks very much, and enjoy yourself. And if you can't enjoy yourself, well, you know what to do.